Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go in the house of God today. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to get right into the Word. It's good to have you, each one here. You know, it's good when you come together like what we just sang there. We're here for one reason. Didn't come here for some political reason or some. I got to worry about somebody else. I'm here to praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm here for others. And I think it's good to look around a little while and realize, you know, we're all here for the same reason.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
Devil come tell you they're doing that for this. Don't worry about that. They're here to praise the Lord.
Amen.
And really, any man, I've gotten to the point where you have to recognize every man don't want to. Nobody wants to go to hell. You know, nobody wants to be evil. And it's hard to understand how people can. How did Hitler do what he did? He thought he was doing good. It's just a deception, and we have to learn to deal with it that way. Just don't be deceived yourself.
Right.
You've got the Holy Ghost. Don't go on little feelings and things. Go by the Word of God. You'll be right every time. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles again, Mark chapter 4. Let me make sure. I'm going to get prayer on the calendar at some point here. Just to update you, I got a few things with the building going good. I was able to call the zoner, and then just a 2-minute phone call said, "Yeah, we're trying to buy this place. It's zoned as a church. We want to make sure it stays a church. Main reason is because that's tax free, and
right.
Uncle Sam takes enough of my money." You know, and just like I told you all the first year, you paid tithes in, and then the church essentially paid it back to me, and then I had to pay income tax on that as self employed. And about half of it went away to taxes. So I was like, well, that's dumb. I might as well just leave it in my account and just count it as is. You know, it's not like I made that money. It just shifted hands twice.
Right.
It's just silly how it goes. But anyways, I was able to talk to him and said, well, you're going to use it as a church? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, then I think it's just fine. We'll leave it zoned that way. So, praise God. That's
Amen.
Easy.
Amen.
And then, you know, the bank told me all kinds of numbers for what insurance was going to be. And I went and talked to my insurance agent, and he gave me policies that not only cover what the building's worth, but domestic things, personal things, liabilities if people want to fall or sue or whatever. And we're looking at $870 a year. So they were telling me $250, $300 a month, and we're not even at $100. So
Amen.
I believe the Lord's had his way.
Yes.
And we'll have the main thing, I don't even care about the room so much. It's more of just the functionality. I think it'd be good for Sunday school to have their room, the nursery to have theirs, a couple bathrooms. Glory to God. And Brother Andrew's office by itself. We can all be spiritual, can't we? But I'm still a man too, and I still hear things, and it is what it is. So, Lord, have his way. Let's get right into the Word now. Mark. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. I do want to continue on the masterpiece today. Lord, have his way. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose, rebuked the wind, and saith unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'd like to preach for a context today. Lord, be in our helper. Glory by shipwreck. Glory by shipwreck. Let's bow our heads before the Lord. With every head bowed, and I trust your heart as well. Would you like to lift a knee up to God as we approach his word? Say, Lord, I know it's just a hand, but can you hear my heart behind it? and come meet my need today. God bless each one. Let's pray and invite the Lord your own way. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy to us, that we've all got breath in our lungs. We've been able, a desire to come to the house of God. And Lord, many of us overcome this and overcome that. But Lord, we're here now. And we pray, Lord, that we believe this predestinated moment of God is here, that Satan's kingdom would just be destroyed on every side. I pray that you come and take this word and heal every sickness that's here. Heal every discouraged one, Lord, and bring us back to that real fellowship that you made for man before there was sin, Lord. We were made to be in fellowship with you. And we believe, Lord, the blood's come and erased what we used to be and given us a new life. And we pray, Father, we'll take benefits from that today, Lord. And you'll hear every heart's cry that's here. Meet every need in this place, Lord. Speak your word and send healing in your wings. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you. We pray that your word will come and just mold us what we need to be in Jesus. Help us now, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated today. Been staying on this masterpiece for a while. Brother Jason asked me to give him some sermons on the last series I finished. And I said, what last series? He just assumed I was done. But I just can't quite get it over with. I believe this is what the message of the hour has come to tell us. We're in the days where God's entire plan is coming to its climax. That all the way from the garden till now, he knew, he spanned it out. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And we're watching the result of all that God has done. We've seen types and types and shadows, but we're coming to the age of where there is no more shadow. We are the antitype to all the promises of God. Amen. Now, we didn't need a new Bible. It was already laying here. But as we understand, it was just like the book of Isaiah says, that it became a book that was sealed. And nobody could understand it. And they went and said, hey, read this book. And the man said, it's sealed. I can't read it. And then it would get loose. And what would he say? Go to another man and said, read me what this says. He says, I don't have understanding. I don't know what it says. But God came on the scene. When they're in a world of denominational confusion, nobody knew what was right. He came, put his face in the sky, sent us a prophet, sent us a voice, opened up the seals and showed us exactly his plan from the Garden of Eden till the end.
Amen.
Amen. Now, what's the problem that's happened in our message? I begin to realize that we've went off on our own tangents, our own ideas, our own concept of what the bride of Christ is supposed to be. And this is why I have no problem with these degenerates saying that we're a bunch of liars and hypocrites, because we're not preaching what the prophet said about it.
Amen.
We've painted up this glamorous bride of Christ that just is always on the mountaintop. Never, oh man, we're just always just overcoming without even trying. And she's just shining with such glory that the most ranked sinner will look at you and say, oh yeah, you're a son of God, I can tell. And we painted that, you know, that's when we'll know that we know that we know that we're really sons and daughters of God. Yet when you begin to look into the Word of God, when you begin to look at what Brother Branham preached about this, it's not at all what he said was going to happen. And it's never happened in any age. You show me one time where the devil was like, oh yeah, you're the believers. Yep, you're the ones. You're the ones we're going to... That don't happen. They're always a day late and a dollar short. Anybody can look at the flood and say, we should have obeyed Noah after you're all dead in the river. Come on now. Don't get too quiet on me. We've painted this picture that the bride's going to just one day just it reminds me of a mule with a carrot attached to the top of her head like this.
Right.
One day we're going to get there. So what do? We keep trying this. We try that. This don't work. This don't work. Well, that didn't work. So I'll grab this quote and that didn't work. I'll grab this Bible. And it's just emptiness.
Right. Sure.
When you read in the story, and I'm gonna be typing this out here, it said the same day when even was come. Look, brother, sister, Jesus Christ had the ability to do as he would have pleased. He could have done this any way he wanted to. And God had orchestrated that this miracle that we just read here would happen in the middle of the night in front of nobody but those that would be his disciples. Hallelujah. The trial that came was at the darkest of times. It was at the loneliness of hours. As we read, they began to just, we're just going to pass over. This is no big deal. We're just going from one meeting to the next. It's just a Tuesday afternoon.
Right, right.
All of a sudden, we get halfway into doing what Jesus told us to do. And all of a sudden, the wind starts blowing. All of a sudden, the ship starts rocking. before you know it, you know, and instead of going to the only man that could help, he said, well, no, well, we got this. We got this, Lord. And they said, well, and I'll read the quote here in a minute, but Andrew, you start rolling over there, and Peter, come on in, and John's over, well, we got to keep this thing straight. Right. Not knowing. Right. The master's in the ship. Right. And he's so not alarmed by the situation. He's asleep. He even says he's on a pillow, so he was getting comfy. He wasn't just taking a nap, he was going to bed. Why? Because he had just had a revival here right before this. He was on his way to go help a lunatic and get, and he was in between services and he was tired. As much as it, and Brother Bram says this quote over and over again. He says, yes, that was a man sleeping there in the boat because he was tired. But the second he got up, put his foot on the rail of the boat and said, peace be still. He said, that was more than a man.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen to this. God hath a provided way. 1956. Sometimes just at the darkest of the moment, then God comes riding in. Hallelujah. That's the way God does it. That's the way God did it for the woman with the blood issue. Her darkest hour. And then along came Jesus. It was the Hebrew children's darkest hour. Then God rode in on the winds of time and fanned the fire away from the Hebrew children. It was in Abraham's darkest hour when he drew back the knife and laid his own little boy back and pulled his head back and his heart in his mouth as it was and his own son. And he pulled the knife to cut his throat because God had said so. It was the darkest moment when God Jehovah appeared on the scene. Said, Abraham, stay your hand. I have provided already. You done what? I've provided already a sacrifice. Abraham said, I'll call this place Jehovah Jireh, for the Lord hath provided. And about that time, a ram began to bleat in the wilderness, hooked up with his horns and all wound up in some vines. Let me skip down a little bit. He said, what was it? He said, Jehovah God spoke that ram into existence. Sure he did. It wasn't a vision. He killed the ram. Blood came out of it. It was a real ram. Sure it was. And the blood poured out of it. And the ram come into existence 1 minute and went out the next minute. It was God's provided way to give a blessing to his child that had trusted him to the end of the road.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what we need to recognize. Satan is allowed to run this world right now. We are sitting in the same mouth that Jesus or that Brother Branham preached the future home of the earthly bridegroom or the earthly bride and the heavenly bridegroom and things that are to be and modern events made clear by prophecy. The same prophet told us this is Satan's Eden. And in Satan's Eden is where God put his bride. Right in the middle of it. He put his disciples right there in the line of duty. And he puts them on a river to let them go through a storm. That as far as they could see was death. They were about to die. But what was he looking for? I love it. What was he looking for? Do you still believe me? Do you still know? They had just watched him feed thousands. They had watched him raise the dead and cast out devils. But the second a storm came, what happened? Faith took a back seat. And I'm bringing it down to us. We are sitting here in Satan's Eden with the message of the hour. The world's falling apart. The message is falling apart. That's right, but that ain't nothing to do with the true word that God has sent.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
There will be those that believe to the end. Don't type as a disciple in this story. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you type as the Lord Jesus Christ, because the same life that was there is in you now.
Amen.
We're closer to the Lord now than they were with him in the back of the boat. Why? He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, he talks to me a long life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. How do I know? He lives within my soul.
Amen.
This is why I can't stand when we've got such an intellectual conception. We tell people without the Holy Ghost to do anything besides repent and get the presence of God.
Yes.
There's nothing else to tell those people. You don't teach serpent seeds. You don't need to go through the seals. You don't need to do any of this, because without the life of God in you, you're on a boat that's about to go under.
Amen.
And you have no way out.
Yes,
these disciples were not, they were the cream of the crop probably when it came to fishermen. They had dealt with many storms, I'm sure. They had got through many adversaries. This is why it took them so long to finally call the master on the scene.
Right.
God never made man to shift for himself. He made man to be completely dependent on him.
Yes.
What will the devil come tell you? You need to, you know, you got, it's like a weird sort of pride is what
yeah.
it is.
It's
you know, you've been along long enough, you can handle it your own. That ain't the way it works, brother, sister.
No.
It really isn't.
No.
He's still going to be there all the way to the end.
Yes.
That's why, and it used to be where we just kind of passed over that, but here we are. And we wake up many mornings and go, how can the Lord still be here?
Right.
But then you look in the scripture, it says, I'll be with you to the end of the world.
Right. Yes.
There's got to be something rise up and say, that's the truth.
Amen.
There's got to be something like Job where, I mean, and look, brother, sister, I'm just preaching now. But
yes.
Job lost everything.
Yes.
And you know what? I'm sure he could have got refinanced on his mortgage and figured that out. Could have went to a different business. But then they came and said, all your kids were having a good time.
Yeah.
And the house came down.
Right.
And they're all dead.
Yes.
Look at the faith of this man. And the Bible admires him for his patience.
Right.
You know why it's admiring him for his patience? Not because of the trial God sent, but what happened from those who should have been there to help him.
Right.
He's sitting there knowing the word of the Lord. I have followed the word. I have given the proper sacrifice. I don't know why this is happening, but blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not a secret sinner. I've made my wrongs right.
Right.
I even sacrificed for my children just in case they did something they didn't even know it was wrong.
Right.
I don't know why this is happening, but I know one thing. It's not, I'm not wrong in this because I'm standing on God's word.
Amen.
And they came with their nice intellectual conceptions and they had their diagrams drawn out and why you're wrong, why this is. And then they'll come and tell us the same and say, well, Brother Bram said the bride would be this and here you are struggling.
Right.
And act like, oh, I don't struggle. I wake
right.
every morning and pray 3 hours, no problem. I just, every time, I'm just always on the mountaintop. If you find somebody always on the mountaintop, they ain't a believer.
Right.
They're deceived. God allows us to go through valleys because he wants you. This is the point. We've got to believe that we are not being trained for this world.
Amen.
We're being trained for the world to come.
Amen.
And as hard as things have been, and I know there's hardships of all levels, the Lord isn't concerned with what you're doing here.
Right.
He's looking for the faith that you're going to need over there.
Amen.
Can I explain that? I cannot, but I do know that men have had to die to learn lessons.
Right.
There's a mighty prophet of the Lord, or a mighty man of God anyhow, Samson, wiping the enemy on every side, no problem. But it came one day where he had a lesson to learn, that you got to follow all the word. And he thought, I could get away with this. No, you can't, boy. And God gave him grace. He tried to give him to repent. He gave him a couple situations where he could have made it right, and he just wouldn't do it. What happened? He finds himself one day blind. Don't know what to think, don't know what to believe, don't know who to trust, can't even see to even help himself. Chained up. What does he learn? The only way out of this is to die.
Right.
Brother, sister, you want to know the glories of the Lord Jesus in this day is going to be when you finally just overcome, get down on your knees and pray for your worst enemy.
Yeah. Right.
With nobody knowing about it, with nobody throwing the streamers and confetti and say, oh my, look at this believer.
Well,
that's right, brother, sister. Remember, the coming of the Lord to us is really the going of the church. It's really us being ready, and he comes because he's not going to come to the earth that every eye see him. No, he's coming as a thief in the night, just in the clouds enough to raise us up to meet him there in the air.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But in the midst of this trial, let me come back a little bit. I kind of diverged there. It's at the evening time this happens. It says very, very plainly that he sent the multitudes away. This was something he only wanted his disciples to see. And many people have a hard time with that. But even God in this age, let his prophets' ministry be recorded. You can go listen. You can see the miracles. They're all there for you to see. But God, still, there's things that he'll pull his children aside and say, this is only for you. They came to him one time and says, Jesus, why do you talk to everybody in parables? All the time. Don't you know they don't understand? He said one time, don't you know that the Pharisees were offended? Because that means something. Don't you know they got mad about it? He said, of course I do, but it's the truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, I speak to them in parables because what I'm giving you all is not what they, it's not given to them.
Right.
Brother, sister, you got to find yourself elected. The things that you've been revealed aren't given to everyone. How many times have you looked at water baptism and said, that's the simplest thing I've ever seen in my life? Of course you're supposed to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, you go try it. Go to someone in a denominational system and just try to take this word and say, it's laying right there. Well, they tell you, no. Nope, that's not the way it is. Why? They're blind. They can't see it. Remember I said it's not objects to get upset about. It's objects to pity. That's right. Jesus was asleep in the middle of this storm. God, he knew it was going to happen. I'm just going to read it. I want to read from the prophet here. It says, Awakening Jesus, 1963, just like those disciples, they had trouble. You're going to have to turn it down, Dad. It's too hot. Cut that off. I'm dying. Y'all okay?
Yeah.
It's warm, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know why? We got the Holy Ghost. So, glory to God. Just like those disciples, they had trouble. They were disciples. They had trouble that the navigators couldn't remedy. No one could remedy, but the remedy was laying right there. And you may have a trouble tonight that the doctor can't remedy, but we got him right here now like they had. He's right here. That's right. We, like those people, we forget who this is in the ship. It's just not a church. It's just not a rules that we go by. It's the creator of heavens and earth.
Amen.
He may be resting right now from a revival. He sent one. He might be resting. He had another one ahead of him. The next day, a maniac had to be healed. But at that time, he was resting and trouble set in. And he was asleep resting. But they forgot who he was, see, in the turmoil. Well, I know, pull on that oar, Simon, Andrew, harder on that oar. What are we going to do? See, there it is. What y'all flustered about? Doctor said this, doctor said that. Well, maybe you did. Maybe the man is right. That's what he said. But what does this say?
Amen.
That's the next thing, see? And another thing, and they knowed him the way they did. They should have known that a man that could tell the thoughts that a man was thinking and know the end from the beginning, knowed it was going to happen anyhow. Now, don't miss this. He knew it was going to happen. He says this, I doubt very much he was asleep. But he knowed it was going to happen. He was God and God is infinite, so he knowed it was going to happen. And he knowed when it was going to happen. And it only happened, can you say only happened? Only happened to test their faith. Didn't he say so later? And that's why you're sick tonight, maybe. That's why the law of the revival is to see what you're going to do about what you've seen done.
Right.
I begin to think sometimes the way people get so discouraged so quickly. Literally, how many miracles do you want from the Lord to stay encouraged? If you saw someone, like, remember Jesus went to the woman who just lost her son. He had been dead. They were carrying the casket away and said that Jesus felt compassion. He went over there and raised that young boy up. You know what? How long do you think she would believe that he's the Son of God and cared about her? You would think the rest of her days, she would be able to look at her son and say, I know the Lord and I know he loves me.
Right.
But what happens to us? There comes another storm.
Right.
And we forget who he was. And if you get thinking that way, what happens? The Lord don't even love me no more.
Right.
Don't even care about me no more. And you think, well, I've went through this. I did this. I did this. Brother, sister, that's why God sent us a prophet who disobeyed the Lord one time. All I did was get a little bit of an idea that those people maybe aren't just what God told me they were. And he said, I don't need to go preach those. Like his mother-in-law said, just go to your church and live a decent life and be a good boy and things like that. Don't bring my daughter around that kind of trash. And in that, see, I don't know how to even relate to looking at your baby about to die and have to, could you imagine the guilt? This is happening because I failed. His wife had just died shortly before that. Here he is months later, trying to take care of his little boy. Don't know what he's going to do. He said, I used to warm the milk. See, we get this idea, Brother Branham had just all man my glories of God and the vision and stuff. This was a man that went through real life.
Amen.
This is a man that was able to have compassion because he had been there.
Right.
He said, I've been there when you had soupy beans one day and bean soup the next day. And then you just went back and forth. It was the same meal all the time. That's all we had.
Right.
He said, I remember when I get madder in my eyes, the only way to get it out, Mama put coon grease in my eyes. That I hate the stuff to this day.
Yeah.
He said, I was born, and said, the reason I get madder is because the ceiling wasn't finished up. There was some holes in the ceiling. And here we are, brother, sister. You're feeling rebuked as I am. My goodness, we still got nice homes. We still got cars. We got clothes. We got plenty of food. The Lord's taking care of us the whole way through.
Amen.
And we'll still act like it's the hardest thing we've ever done going through.
Right.
Second trial comes, what's the first thing we do? Whine, bicker, complain.
Right.
Just be honest. Amen. But at the end of the day, we've got to remember who's still in the boat.
Amen.
Who's still in the boat? Many people think preachers get back here and we just feel good all the time, Sister Violet. Just always. I'm just ripping ready to preach every service. You know how many times I go, I'm preaching tomorrow, Brother Dan? I was mama all day yesterday. Mama had to go to the hospital for something, and then you got to go get your prescription. I was making supper. We had hot dogs and tortillas. So hallelujah. I made a decent lunch, but did some laundries, did some dishes, what I could do. You know, it's life, brother, sister. I met many preachers who said, Saturday I can't do nothing, ever. Not allowed. Can't do nothing. And I understand you want to be devoted. You ought to be sincere about preaching the Word of God. That's true. But I know how many times Brother Branham said, they asked me to preach today, and I don't really have a whole lot of time, but I got a few things scribbled here on a piece of paper I'm going to preach from.
True.
Oh, brother, you're not qualified to be a minister. I mean, and I'm not saying this because it's me. I've just seen this before. We've got to intellectually understand these things. I don't care if the man's 5 years old. If the Holy Ghost called him to preach something, he needs to preach it.
Amen.
Glory to God. I know we've done, oh, we're so revelated. We need all this education and stuff. There ain't one time that happened in the Bible, brother, sister. They had a whole army of educated believers there in the days of Saul. They had a man who had already won many wars before. But one giant stepped up and they totally forgot who they were even fighting for. They totally forgot that they had a God of Israel behind them. But there was a little boy, a shepherd, down there in the valley somewhere. He said, I've got a real experience that nobody knows about, but I was there.
Amen.
They took one of my sheep one time and the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. I threw one rock and killed a bear.
Right.
Killed a lion. And what's this uncircumcised Philistine before the God of Israel?
Right. Amen.
See, we get this idea that if we're really overcoming, there ain't no Goliaths. And this same mouth we had a prophet tell us, we live in a land of intellectual giants.
Right.
Hallelujah. What are y'all flustered about? We should know this was going to happen.
Amen.
The Bible tells us there's going to be a great falling away first. Then that man of sin will be revealed. And we, brother, all these people are leaving the message. What about you?
Right.
What about you when Jesus... You know, and I've got quotes for this, you know, but we all believe this anyhow. It's there in John chapter 6. Came to him and said, all right, done patting you on the back. It's time to tell you the truth.
Right.
So what are you going to say when I tell you you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood or you have no life in you? I said, "Woo." What am I going to say when the TV's still the devil and you still need to kick it out?
Right.
Oh. Woo, boy. What am I going to say when you women still don't need to let the fashions of the world get a hold of you? You men are the same. And that's really becoming a thing. I didn't think much of it before, but it is now in our day. Brother Bram used to talk about little curls in his face and wearing pink and purple and things and wear suede shoes and stuff. It's not that individually, it's the spirit of it. He said, you don't even know what side you're on. You're acting like a girl.
Right.
And now they just want to go all the way and be a girl. And they're not the ones that's mentally disturbed. You are for saying that's insanity.
Right.
And they've even applied it. I saw somewhere where they said that you got to be careful about your animals too because you might assume their gender.
Wow.
One little lie, brother, sister, is all the devil needs. And before you know it, you'll lose your mind. And don't act like we're not subjected to the same thing sitting right here in this message. There's been so many things done in the name of this message, it makes me want to vomit.
Sure thing.
And I wonder how much I've just buried my head in the sand about it, but it's true. It's been on every side. Many of you have seen stuff, and you go, how could they believe that? One little lie. And it wasn't then. You got to trail it way back. See, by the time, if you start seeing fruit on the outside, what does that begin to tell you? There was a bark before that. There was a stump before that. There were roots before that. And before there was a seed somewhere that got planted.
Sure.
And it took fueling and fueling. And what happens? Many people want to get delivered. But they know, I can't really get rid of this because I love it too much. So what do? They do it like when we try to get rid of weeds. You ever try to go get rid of weeds? Use your little weed whacker going top to top? Guess what? You ain't doing nothing. Come back 2 days, your grass ain't growing at all, but the weed did. You got that little complex in there? Oh, yeah, just go ahead, put on a fake smile, cut it off, and never get the root of bitterness out of you. I'll give it 2 days. All you got to do what the Lord said. Love your enemy as yourself. Amen. Just, man, you can't help what other people do, but you can help what you do about it.
That's right.
That's, we're having free church. Mercy, Lord, have your way. Have your way. Amen. The Lord allowed this trial that we're reading here because he wanted them to believe. Because he knew after he would depart, they had to have something to sustain themselves. And what did they need? They needed to know who he was. And we've recognized that in this day. We needed to understand who Jesus Christ was, because if you still think of him as a Trinity, you can't have the faith you need to. If you still think of him like a oneness does, that he's just this dictator over here and you're just a little peon on the ground somewhere, you've missed the whole picture. But when you recognize who he is, it begins to show you who you are, and it gives you the faith that you and Christ has come together in a union. And that he didn't put you to a storm to kill you. He did it to show you his glory.
Amen.
He did it so you could look at it and say, this has to be God. What manner of man is this?
Sure.
I could take my wrecked life and make a saint out of it. Oh, glory to God. What kind of man is this that could take a man that just hated and hated and hated, and I can actually love again? Oh, brother, sister. And he came on the scene, and I love how, look how nonchalant the Lord is about this. He comes up, they wake him up, right? What was their first complaint? It's your fault, Lord. Uh-oh. It's your fault. You don't care about us. Carest thou not that we perish?
That's right.
Did he give their unbelief any attention? What would we have done? I'm here to pray for you. I don't need your prayers. Uh-oh. I got it all under control. And then it does fall apart. Why weren't you there?
Right.
I've seen that before. I thought you loved me. You're supposed to call me when I don't get here. And then he called. Why are you bugging me all the time? What do you want? I'll tell you what you need. You need delivered. And just serve the Lord.
Amen.
I dealt with a man with that one time, getting me this whole runaround about this person doing this, they're doing this, they're doing this. And I said, what about Jesus? Is he even in this anymore? Do you even think about what he thinks? Do you even love him anymore? He says, I don't even know. Then what in the world are you talking about?
Right.
You're in a sinking ship, and you're telling me you're going to get out of it without the master in the boat.
Amen.
I don't know what to tell you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. You're dead, brother.
Because
you need him, or you're not coming out of this.
Amen.
And we have gotten to the place that this is why God put us here. This is why we have temptation on every side. This is why it's so hard to overcome. Is he's showing you, you can't do this without me.
Amen.
But with Christ.
Oh.
Sleep right through the storm.
Amen.
Wake up. Don't even worry about people's opinions of you getting all mad. Just get up there and say, well, God, got to get busy about the Father's business. Gotta get rid of the storm. Peace be still.
Right. Yes.
What'd he do? He looked at him and said, well, at least you tried, boys. Good job. That's what everybody thinks we ought to do. He looked at him and says, how is it you have no faith?
Right.
He said, why are you so fearful? He said, why are you afraid? And it says, what's the next verse? And they were exceedingly fearful. Even when the word came and told him to quit fearing, they just went ahead and did it anyways. This is why he looked at Peter and says, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Because right now, you don't get it, Peter. You think you get it, but you have no idea what's going on. You don't know why I'm here. But he said, I'll send the Comforter. I'll send the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you all these things. He'll make it all plain. And here we are at the end of all time, and eternity is about to set in, and God has given us the Holy Ghost and shown us why all these things are happening. God is allowing you to go through this because he's shaving off your faith in this world.
Amen.
Getting rid of your fear, because when you recognize the master's still in the boat. The master's still in the boat. He's there when I'm on the job and I want to blow up. Glory to God. He's there when I can't stand my family. I can't stand myself. I can't stand my neighbor. He's still there.
Amen.
How long did it take the Lord to answer their call? Immediately.
Yes.
Just like the time, the other story where they were on the storm, they were out in the boat by themselves, even in more trouble. At least he was in the back this time. This time they're all by themselves. But the Lord still came walking on the water anyways.
Amen.
Even when you don't bring them along the way you should have.
Right? Yes.
Maybe you did come with a complex. That's all right.
Yes.
He'll still come walking on the water.
Yes.
Now you might get a little shell-shocked for a minute and say, whoa. Because they looked at him and says, there's a ghost.
Yeah.
Why? Men don't walk on water.
Right.
And then something began to rise in Peter. Now look, he couldn't express what he wanted to. And this is really where the Old Testament saints always were. They had the seed of God, brother, sister, but it could never come to life because the sin question had not been settled. There was a sin barrier between man and his fellowship with God that the Holy Spirit couldn't get back into his soul.
Right.
But that seed was still there.
Yes, right.
And it still had a life in it, brother, sister. We weren't given life. It just, it quickened it. It was still there.
Right.
That seed, you could hold it in your hand. It's got life.
Right.
But you have no sign it has life. It's not even moving or nothing.
Right.
But you put it in the ground.
Amen.
Let the sun get a hold of it and some water comes right up, don't it? And here's Peter. He's looking out there. We're about to die here, guys. I don't know what to do. And there's a spook out there, but he said it was Jesus. Something stirred and says, I'm believing that. He said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come on the water. Come. And before he gave a thought, he just started walking on the water. I know I've seen those, they call them memes and stuff on the internet, saying, you know, about walking on water. I said, well, you're not Jesus. What about Peter? He did it.
That's right.
That's right. You know, and he didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet. Where's our faith?
Right.
Uh-oh. And he began to walk on the water in that right, and he started going to him. And as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, everything was fine.
Right.
Nothing was wrong. All fear was gone.
Yes.
As long as he knew the Master had given him the word, it was going to be okay.
Sure.
But then that 1 second hit. Wait a minute. I'm a man. I'm on water. There's a storm. I'm going to die. And it said he began to sink. Aren't you grateful the Lord didn't just drop you?
Right.
But you just started dropping slowly, slowly enough. What did he do? He said, Master, save me.
Right.
Bible's careful to note. It says immediately the Lord got a hold of his hand.
Right.
Now, brother, sister, here's the hard part. He shows you your love, but he shows you love enough to tell you the truth.
Yes.
He says, why did you doubt, Peter? He didn't say, well, at least you gave it a good shot. No, he's trying to teach him a lesson.
Yes.
You've got to believe the word.
Amen.
Always. Say, in the midst of a storm, yes. When it looks like you're about to die, yes. When your human ability has ran out and there's no doors left, yes. Because no matter if there's a door not there, the Lord said he is the way.
Yes.
He's the door of the sheepfold. He'll make a door where there ain't one.
Yes.
Glory to God. And he pulled him in the boat and told him, just believe me, Peter. Quit worrying about this. And I believe the Lord's done the same for us, brother, sister. I hope you understand where we're going. It's the evening time. It's darkness on every side. There's no light in the world but what you see.
Amen.
The Bible said it. Let me find it real quick. At least I thought I got that scripture. It's Matt. Let's turn there for a little bit. I haven't been in the word a whole lot. But Matthew 24. You're hearing from the Lord today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 24, verse 8. When you get a chance, read the whole chapter here. But I'll just pick up at verse 8. And he says, and these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and then shall many be offended. Sorry, I can't get over that, but that seems to be the new trend anymore. Everybody's all offended. What do they call it? Triggered or something? Everybody's all mad about everything all the time. Jesus told us it's going to be that way.
Right.
Everything's going to be offended about everything. Always. Nothing you can do about it.
Right.
Even when you do everything they say, they're still mad.
Yep.
You know why? Because they have a reprobate mind.
Good.
And us as believers have to take a step back and say, you know what? I would be no different than them had not the Lord got a hold of me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Now look at verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now what many people think is because if a man commits iniquity, his love begins to wax cold. That's not really what it's getting at, brother, sister. Let me bring it to why. You and I, we have love for mankind. What's the hardest thing is iniquity abounds. You see someone, and I just heard a story about this in Bryan. There was a man out there with one of them signs, you know, help, you know, give us food, God bless you, we don't have nothing, right? Man at Burger King began to feel bad for him. Said, you know what, I'm going to go try to do something about this. He goes out there and says, look, if you want to, I'll give you a job right here on the spot. We can come and train you, get you ready, get you a job. He said, why would I do that? I make more money out here than I would ever working for you. Because iniquity abounds, this manager's love begins to wax cold. Yeah,
right.
You as a Christian, you do things. Do you see? You try to express your love. But because iniquity abounds on every side, you don't know who to trust.
Right.
Because they do things that they know are wrong, but do it anyways to gain advantage.
Sure.
You know the boss that asks you to work twice as hard as anybody else?
Right.
At least you should. That's right, you Christians. You know he gets on your case when other people get away with stuff. And what makes it hard? You know it's iniquity. You know you're being a hypocrite, boss. You know you're not being consistent across the board. But and if you're not careful, it'll make your love wax cold.
That's right.
You say, well, that's not fair. God didn't call you to worry about what the world's doing. He called you to a different standard.
Amen.
And it's hard for me, brother, sister. I've seen people take advantage of me. And it's in the name of the message. I've seen it in the world. I've seen it in denomination. And the hardest part about it is if you've got the Holy Ghost, you already know. You know. You know they're taking advantage of you. What are you going to do about it? Man, this is mercy, Lord. Have your way. I was at Ponderosa one time, and I remember talking to one of my managers, and I was right. I know I was. I proved I was right. But she wouldn't believe me. And I just hammered it on her. I said, I'm right. You're dumb. This is the way it is. But, you know, I never felt so rebuked in my life. I was right. I was just in what I was saying, but I'd forgot I'm a witness of Christ right now. And instead of saying, you know what, I'd rather myself be defrauded and give you an opportunity to see the love of God than to just prove I was right. And I literally went and sulked for a while. And you say, well, why would you do that, brother? That's not fair. You were right, brother. I'm at a higher standard now. I don't care about being right. I want the Lord Jesus to be magnified. Many men have gone and been beaten and striped and killed. And I'm sitting here whining because I was wrong. Or I was right one time and it got falsely accused. And I got to go defend myself. You see, we got to get that out of our thought. The glory of the bride isn't this, oh, we're just euphoria all these times. No, it's when everything's falling apart. Everyone hates you. You're doing everything right, but you're still suffering for it. That you still stand up and said, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes.
And you have the ability. Oh, here's where it meets. To still love that person.
That's right.
Sure.
That's where we're realizing people missed it.
Yeah.
And you get a minister come tell you it's okay to hate them.
No.
That and then that seed gets planted.
Yeah.
Keep coming to church.
Right.
Keep listening to tapes.
Right.
Keep doing the things. But then eventually you watch that thing start growing. Yeah. Before you know it, it'll start pulling you.
Right.
And then you'll find if I believe if you're predestinated, you can't stay that way.
Right.
The Lord's coming. He's going to pull it out. He's
right.
Going to bring you back. But I'll tell you, I've been on the permissive will long enough. I'd just rather take the perfect will of God and just save all that trouble. Many people think the permissive will is just like a nice, well, it's just a little detour. It's just a few signs around. No, it's like going from here to Napoleon, but I'm heading west, Brother Rodney.
Amen.
Can I get there? Yes, but I better pack a boat. I need a plane. I need a rocket ship if I'm going to get there in any kind of time. And it's going to cost me a lot more.
Right.
And if I just would have let the Lord have his way,
right.
Tell me to head northeast.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He allowed this. Now look, let's bring it down home. Give me a little bit more time here.
Amen.
We've run this type through, but I'm talking about the masterpiece. I'm talking about in this day. I don't care what happens. God is going to have a bride without spot, without wrinkle. Believe in every bit of this word, and you will be translated in a moment and twinkling of an eye. It's not going to be a message rapture.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
It's going to look like it failed.
Right.
Right.
when Jesus was coming to finally fulfill his cause, every sign that any man would have looked at said, it failed.
Right.
I'm sure Pastor Jedediah said, see, aren't you glad I got you ministers out of all that nonsense?
Right.
Do you see? You see what you would have been wrapped up in? Them 70 ministers. Look at them. They're all cannibals out there.
Right.
And then even the 12, what did he say to them? He said, what are you going to say when you see me on the right hand of God where I came from?
Right.
Where you came from? We know where you came from. You came from some backwash church in Defiance. And you're going to come tell us what the message said? The word's the word.
Right.
And I love it because Peter looked around. Everything just, he lost it all. Why? He'd already sold out, brother, sister. He already told Jesus one time, we've given lands, we've given family, we've given everything. What are we going to get out of this? And the Lord said, well, you're going to give eternal life. But he said, even in this life, I'll give you 100-fold. You know,
right.
You can't outdo the Lord. There ain't no way.
Right.
But he said, where are we going to go? We're convinced you've got the words of eternal life. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter. My Father in heaven did. Amen. And he still, you know, he still didn't have the faith. The storm of life came on. They took the Lord. They met him out there in the Garden of Gethsemane. But the Lord showed you what you and I have to do in this day. He wasn't worried about Peter, James, and John. They fell asleep on him. He didn't go and start saying, well, I guess I'll just do what everybody else is doing. He said, nope, I've got to do what I'm supposed to do. And he went back and he prayed again for another hour. And he came back and they fell asleep. He said, you guys can't even pray an hour? We can't even listen to preaching for an hour, much less prayer. And this was in the middle of the night after a long time. Long day at work, still can't pray. That's us. Well, God don't need all that, brother, sister. He wants our hearts.
Amen.
Amen. And he went back and Jesus wasn't worried about it. He knew he had to overcome that hour or they were all going to be lost.
Right.
And he finally did. We know that. Jesus was a man, brother, sister. This wasn't the God part in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Right.
This was the man part wrestling out. I can get deliverance if I want it.
Sure.
But I have to do this or they're all lost. And he began to wrestle back and forth, back and forth. And what did he come to? He said, Father, if there is a way to deliver me from this cup, deliver me. But nevertheless, thy will be done. And that's where he overcome the storm. Hallelujah. That's where he could go and look right as the people were about to kill him. He says, who are you looking for? He said, Jesus. He said, I'm he. And he showed his power. Poof, they all fell on the ground. He said, what's the problem, boys? He said, and why did he do that? Why did he do that? His power wasn't for himself. He said, let these go.
Yes.
Let them go. I'll take it for them. Jesus didn't ask you to go die on the cross, brother, sister. He did it for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I believe we were in him. I believe we died with him. I believe that that's where it was paid for. But brother, sister, never get to the point where some have even taught that somehow we chose to do that. We did not. He made the choice for me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We would have been just like Peter.
Yeah.
You ain't going to the cross, Lord. You don't need to do all that. I'll take care of it. What did Jesus say? He said, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah, amen.
Keeping me from the will of God.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. And here we are in the message, brother, sister. Here we are. Well, we try to believe it. And what happens? Somebody comes and quotes it a certain way. And before you know it, the thing that was supposed to give us life kills us. And then you try to go somewhere else and you realize, nope, it's death on every side. That's right. You don't go running here and there and everywhere. It's not there. I'll tell you that right now. You can go looking. It's not there.
Right.
It is in this message.
Amen.
But it's getting to the point where Brother Bram told us this, brother, sister. It's coming out of end time evangelism. 1962. He says, now we're going to the end right here by saying this. The end time message is to get the bride ready and prepared for the rapture. How many believes that? That's what it's sent for. What can it do? According to Malachi 4, is to bring them back to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Bring them back to the faith of the fathers, the Pentecostal part in the restoration time. I will restore, saith the Lord. That's the real event, end time evangelism. Okay, now stay with me. Let me skip down. It says, but we believe we're at the end time. We believe it. And though it seems like at the end time, at this time, that the message and messenger both is about broke. Looks like Satan has tried his best to rim-wreck us. Brother Neville, his accident. Brother Christ there and gun blowing it and see, it looks like right now when every church out through there is thumbs down on me. And see, it looks like it's just about broke. Looks like we're defeated. Don't you worry. You know, it's usually at that time when God steps in on the scene.
Amen.
When it looks like the boat's filling in with water and it's all over. Once you finally go say something to the Lord,
Amen.
He steps on the scene and it's taken care of. Hallelujah. It looks like we're defeated. Don't you worry. You know, it's usually at that time when God steps on the scene or something he's been watching for a long time. You remember. Remembers one time there was some children down in the fiery furnace. They was holding true to that word. Everything went wrong. They throwed them in jail. They kept them overnight. They was going to burn them up the next morning. And it looked like the end was near. They was walking right up to the furnace. But he come riding down to change. The scene was all changed just in a moment. It's always in them weakest moments when it looks like the true message is about defeated. That's when God steps in. He lets the message and the messenger get to the end of the road. See, then he comes in and he rides the high waves. That's right. Let me skip down. It says, notice, when the message is rejected by the people and the messenger seems to be completely defeated, he can't get another door, he can't get a place like our Lord was. When he was healing the sick, the young prophet, oh my, he's a great fella. Hello, Rabbi, how you doing? But one day he sat down and began to tell them the truth. He found favor with the church, the people, thousands followed him. They had 70 ministers around him besides the 12. But one day after, he had turned the bread down out of heaven. Yeah, see, he multiplied the loaves. And immediately after that, he had walked on water, performed miracles, and done the things that he had done to prove that he was. And then what he did, he sat down and began to strictly tell the people. The people turned away. And the 70 said, oh, who can hear this? That's a hard saying. You tear down what we really thought was something else. Now, who are you to tell us these things? And they walked away. Real quick, do you know that they didn't see Jesus as the Son of God? They saw him as this renegade 32 that didn't know how to line up. Who was bringing destruction to his own ministry, just like they tried to tell Brother Branham. If you just let some of these things go, your ministry could take off. He said, said, when a ministry leaves the Word of God, a man needs to quit preaching.
Amen.
That's right. I know I paraphrased that, but you understand. And they walked away. Then he turned. I mean, you tear down what we really thought was something else. Now, who are you to tell us these things? And they walked away. Then Jesus turned to his little group. His little group. Like in the days of Noah, like in the days of Sodom. Said, you want to go too? And Peter said those great words, Lord, where would we go? God, help us. Notice, when the message is rejected and the messenger seems to be defeated, that's when God steps in on the scene. And I do believe, brother, sister, and as I said, there's parallels even between the Kennedy presidency around Brother Branham and Trump now around us. There's parallels that we can watch. The prophecy is it just lines up perfectly to what's happening on every side. And everybody in the message, at least they ought to be, should be looking for this great thing to happen.
Right.
For the bride of Christ to go in a resurrection. But what have we painted? What picture have we painted? Oh, we just get glory by nice, easy lives. Just nice coasting away. And when you come to church, you always going to feel good. That's when you know you're really overcoming. And you never have to get rebuked ever again. You know, you're just an overcoming every side. And you know what? We might have thought that about some of the people of the Bible, but that's why the Bible is so credible. It didn't record people's good parts.
Right.
It told the truth.
Right.
When you go read the history of America and a lot of our books, man, we are just the greatest people ever been here. And totally ignore the fact that we slaughtered millions of Indians for no reason.
Right.
We could have lived in peace without worrying about it, but we had that spirit on us.
Right.
It comes from the devil. The nations are driven by the devil.
Right.
You can take that to the bank. That's right. And we thank God for godly men, but at the end of the day, this image, remember the whole thing built up in the vision of Daniel? It still needed a rock to come and crash the whole thing down. None of it's fit for the next kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen. And when it looks like it's all falling apart, when it looks like there's nothing going right, when everybody's turning their back on it, brother, sister, this is the time where God steps on the scene. And where is he stepping on the scene? You as an individual.
Amen.
Hallelujah! And he comes to your house.
Yes.
And he sends his angels to you.
Yes.
and shows you stay the course.
Amen.
He says, remember he said, ask, shall be given.
Yes.
Seek, you'll find it.
Yes.
But what would have happened, bro? This is where we find ourselves. If you don't seek the Lord, you're on your own.
Yes, sir.
What would have happened in this story? They wouldn't have woke Jesus up. It would have been over. Look, brother, sister, that's all there is to it. What would it, now, that's the grace of our Lord, isn't it? If He would let us to our own devices, and I don't care how Holy Ghost filled you are, if you were left to yourself, you'd fail it.
Amen.
And we're realizing that. I've realized it. And this is that legalistic spirit that comes to tell us that we can do something to make a rapture. Well, if I do this, I do this, I do this, I'll go. And you know what? For one day, hey, I'm going. Tomorrow, guess I'm not. Brother Branham said, I wouldn't run my business that way. He said, one day you're saved, one day you ain't. He said, what in the world? Why would you do that? He said, no. He said, when the Lord did it, He saved you for time and eternity.
Yes.
Amen. And when did He do it? Before you had a choice.
Amen.
Before you could say no. He said yes.
Amen.
And here we are at the last time. I'm talking about the masterpiece. What is God's masterpiece? It says, Satan, here you go.
Yes.
Do whatever you want.
Hallelujah.
I'll open up the whole river. Send every devil you got in hell. Because I got something special for you. I got a little flock in my hand down there in Defiance, Ohio. I got them in India. I got them in Venezuela. I got them around the world. You can't touch them.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not too impressed with a minister that can go to India and cast out devils. I want to see one do it right here in America.
There it is. It's true.
Brother Brad said, I'd much rather deal with an uneducated heathen than an educated one.
Right.
Hallelujah. I even heard a minister tell me one time, he went to Africa. He said, man, you get over there, you feel like super Christian. He said, man, you know why? Because there's less demon possession, brother, sister. It's just what it is. And we think, oh, there's witchcrafts and things like that. That's bottom of the barrel in Satan's kingdom.
Yeah.
His top dogs. Let us turn now to... Oh, I know the Bible says, but let's bring it down. I know the prophet said, but you know, it's different.
Right.
No, it only different because you're different.
Right.
If you would come back to the Word, it would work just right.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. There's going to be a bride.
Amen.
And I'm determined there's going to be some here.
Amen.
Waiting on the coming Lord to the end. Amen.
Amen.
Whoo, mercy. You love the Lord today?
Amen.
It's not time where we're at. God building up this man. It's not time to fear what's happening in the world. It's not time to fear what's happening in our lives. It's time to believe the Lord now more than ever. You want to see great miracles? I'm going to tell you, they're going to happen. They are happening.
That's right.
They happen all the time.
Amen.
The point is, do you have eyes to see that they're all around you? Or are you so wrapped up in this idea of what the bride's going to look like, you're missing the whole thing?
Sure.
And I feel completely unqualified to be the one saying this in the message. I'm going to tell you, it's the truth. We have painted a picture, and it's not the prophet's fault. Brother Branham preached the third pole.
Yeah,
said, speaking things into existence in the power of God. The same third pole said, you're preaching to those who have no chance. The third pole was when he was completely rejected by everyone.
Right.
We forget all that and we just remember the glorious part. No, it all comes together.
Yes.
For Brother Branham to stand up and we think, oh yeah, he had to. You know, he had the vision. Thanks. He missed a vision one time.
Right.
He suffered for it. He was supposed to preach for one thing and he got convinced out of it. I mean, down there in Africa, he almost died. Later on, he was supposed to have that kill that brown bear and he missed the vision of it. Brother Eddie Biscoe tells the story and others. What was God doing? Make sure he didn't miss that vision. To open those seals.
Right.
And we think, well, yeah, he had to open the seals. You know, the Lord did it. Do you know he knew? He knew. He says it on tape. This is going to send 10,000 of my friends away from me.
Right.
What? He was serving one, though.
Yes.
He was looking for just that bride. He said the message only came to get a bride ready for a rapture.
That's right. That's it.
And the only way you're going to get there is to have this faith.
Right. Yes.
To be able to look a storm in the eye and say, Lord brought me here. And I'm talking storms of life too. You understand.
Amen.
And say, Lord's will's done. We still got the master in the boat.
Right.
and I'm not worried about it. Peace. Be still. Hallelujah. How many believes that?
Amen.
Let me finish on this quote, and I will finish here. Why it had to be shepherds, 1964. Now notice, he had sent his brethren away, or his brethren in slavery under bondage with a message of deliverance. He's talking about Israel now. With a God-given sign to prove his claims, Israel went for his message. They believed it, every one of them. But in the evening time, now look, he corrects it. He says, they went for his miracles. But in evening time, he gave his message. It was different. All that did not believe that message died. That's right. What was the message? The message was of the coming judgment. At the evening time, God went out through the camp of Israel to find if the people had believed his shepherd prophet's message, and all had not believed it perished. Now notice, we're going to bring it over to the great shepherd just in a few moments. See, now the great shepherd prophet's ministry. Of his miracles, every church opened and would receive him. They wanted their sick healed. They wanted to do great things. His popularity was great. But when the evening time came, one day after he had turned the water to wine, had fed thousands of bread, and had performed miracles, he began to sit down and talk to them. And he said to them, I and my Father are one. Why sayest thou, show us the Father? Oh, brother, this man's making himself equal with God. That was too much for their ecclesiastical thinking. And that's too much for many ecclesiastical thinking today, that a group of people are standing up and saying, I and my Father are one.
Right.
They said, you're a man making yourself God. And it was nothing but the backwards image. It was God making himself man.
Amen.
And in this day, it's not a group of people saying they're God. It's God making himself his family.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to be one of them. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastical thing, you can't get that, but a revelated son of God will. He has to.
Yes, amen.
That was too much for the ecclesiastical thinking, but it was the truth. He was, see? But when they did, many did not follow him. Then he turned around and said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, what do you think a smart, intellectual person would have thought? I imagine the priest that had him in the temple was very ashamed of them having him there. To think that a man would stand up and say a thing like that, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Said, this is a human vampire, see? Eat my flesh and drink. Why? He's a cannibal. You good thinking people, you'll get away from such a lunatic as that. He never explained it. He just said it. He did it to stumble them. Okay. Hope you're ready. He did it to stumble them, to separate his sheep from goats. He did it to throw them off, and then nobody wanted to cooperate with him. They had no cooperation from then on, see. Notice, at the evening time, God went through the camps and seen who had believed.
That's right.
We're in that day right now.
Yes.
What's happening is we've had such a terrible world. Let's just put it the way it is. We've had so many things fall apart. We've had so many men who we held in high regard begin to fall down.
Right.
We've had so many things that we've tried to put faith in fail. What is it though? It's God separating real believers from the not.
Right.
Hallelujah. And when you begin, I heard somebody left a message and somebody, I think it was the boy, said, I'd always wanted to wear shorts. And the girl said, I always wanted to cut my hair. And I'm sitting here thinking, you were always this then. You were being a hypocrite sitting in church. You were always an unbeliever.
Right.
You're sitting there saying you believed it, but in your heart you did it.
Right.
People say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, you better be fear and trembling because you don't believe him.
Right.
Out here you do. Out here you show up. Out here you got your hair long. Out here you got dress on. Out here you straighten up. But down here you don't believe a thing.
Right.
You're nothing short of Judas.
That's right.
Casting out devils, speaking in tongues, and doing all these great things. But in his heart he didn't love the Lord.
Right.
That's what matters. That's what it means when it says God knows your heart. You better know he does, and you better know that in there you love him no matter what.
Amen.
And you know what? You're going to get tested.
Right.
We're at the evening time. You're going to find out if you love the Lord or not.
Right.
You say, well, why? Why do I got to go through this? Why do I got to do that? That's unbelief, 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 unbelief.
Right.
Faith says, I don't know why. I don't need to know why. I just need to know he's here.
Amen.
I just need to know he's in the boat. And as long as he's there, peace be still. As long as I can know in my heart, and we use the word feel that the Lord is there, but it's not feel as you understand, though. It's faith.
Right.
Faith is a substance, brother, sister. The world will tell you faith something up here. That ain't what the Bible said. The faith is the evidence of things you don't see.
Amen.
Some people think when I preach on divine healing that I rebuke people for getting sick. I'm not rebuking you for getting sick. I believe God. Now, if you've done something wrong, God can use sickness. We all can say amen to that.
Amen.
He's done that many times to give me a wake-up call. But at the same time, we know trials come. Things happen. What I don't believe is whining about it, being defeated, saying, well, I guess it's all over. No, you rise up in faith. And you say, Lord, you're still God?
Yeah.
I just had it just yesterday, brother, sister. Man, it'd be really nice to be able to go study for a service before 9 o'clock. But I had a family to take care of. I got another family to take care of.
Right.
And the Lord is going to provide for me.
Yes, He will.
Yeah. If you only knew the truth. And I'm not trying to, you understand, I'm not boasting myself. I'm telling you the truth. This is the glory of the bride.
Right.
Finally getting around to study about 10 or 11 o'clock. Can't hardly think. So I'm like, well, I'll just go to sleep for a while. Wake up at 3 in the morning. And that's when I studied.
Thank you, Lord.
Here I am.
Thank you, Lord.
And I might as well not even bother with half of this because I just went ahead and let the Lord talk anyways.
Amen.
Maybe He lets me do it so I feel comfortable. I don't know, but. That's the glory, and I believe it. I believe this is the bride's revival on every side.
Yes.
I do. When I see people that's come, how many can say you've been divinely healed right here in this building?
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Let's see it. How many knows?
Yes.
That's right. What did that? Is that me? No, it's the Word.
Right.
It's that He's in the boat.
Amen.
Many people have been driven to churches. Many people have been driven to ideas. Many people have been driven to certain men and certain ministries. If you can just get driven to the Lord Jesus, no matter what happens, it looks like a shipwreck. But that's only the means that God's going to get the glory out of you.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Oh, let's worship Him today. Let's give Him praise. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Have your way today, Lord Jesus. In your time. Goes right to see the thing after that. In your time, 6:20 if you don't know. In your time, in your time, you make all things beautiful. Thank you, Lord.
You make all things beautiful in your time.
Lord, please show me every day.
You say in your time.
Believe it now as you sing it.
Oh, in your time.
Yes, Father.
Oh, in your time.
Oh, you make all things beautiful. Yes, you do, Lord. With a heart full of faith now. Say, Lord, I believe this.
Oh, in your time.
With all your heart.
In your time.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, Father.
You make all things
yes,
beautiful in your time.
Just what you say.
in your time.
Keep playing it, Dad. Let's bow our heads.
Hallelujah. Lord, please show me every day. Why is that? Some days you feel like you got it. Some days you feel like you don't. And we're saying, Lord, every day, show me once again. And you work all things out in your time beautifully. We can go back. You all can. Things happened 5, 10 years ago. You look at today and say, man, what a testimony of the Lord's hand in my life. At the time, it didn't feel that way. At the time, you saw the sink, the boat about to sink. At the time, you said, I'm about to perish. What'd you find out? The Lord was sitting right there, knew it was going to happen, and only used it to teach you something. Hallelujah. You've got to believe now more than ever before. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. It's a day of trouble that would never come to the world again. This will be the last time. But out of there, God's asked you to endure and to overcome. It's a high calling, but when you recognize that the master of the wind lives in you, you're more than able to do this. Hallelujah, Jesus. We've all got our mountains to overcome. We're all at different places between us and the Lord. You might be in the middle of a shipwreck right now and wonder, Lord, why am I such a failure? Why can't I do this? Why can't I be an overcomer? I'm here to tell you, don't go. It's only happened for the Lord to get glory out of your life. So everybody say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Don't say it haphazard. Be like Peter. Lord, save me. I don't want to sink. I don't know what to do, but Lord, I'm raising my hand and I believe I'll raise this little bit. You'll reach out from heaven and grab me. What is it, brother, sister? What hinders you today? Don't let it no more. Say, Father, I believe you with all my heart. Hallelujah. Faith isn't lying to yourself. Faith is saying God is bigger than my problem. God is bigger. God's bigger than my backsliding. God's bigger than my unbelief. God's bigger than me, and I believe him. God bless you, brother, sister. There's hands all over. Look, have your altar call right there. That's where it matters anyways. We get in formalities. I don't want that. You pour your heart out to the Lord. You tell him all about it. Don't leave the way you came. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, you've brought me this far, and I'm still standing somehow. And I believe, Lord, you've molded me this long. You've kept me in your hand all these years because I'm part of this masterpiece that Brother Andrew's been preaching about today. I'm part of this bride of Christ. You've got to believe that, brother, sister. You ain't going if you got doubt about that. You've got to believe that with all your heart, that you're one of his, and he's not going to lose a one, and he's going to take care of you. Don't worry about... Oh, we're trying to overcome the rest of our lives right now. That's not what the Lord's asked you to do. Right now, you overcome what's in your life today. And rise up in faith and give him praise. Say, Lord, if you need healing, raise up and say, Father, I thank you for healing me. I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be all right and I'm feeling good in the Lord. No matter what my body feels, I believe in the Lord, it's going to work out. Everywhere I go, Lord, let me give praise to your name. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your name. Don't worry about the trial, brother, sister. That's God's way of getting glory. And it's his time. That's one thing God never tells us. He never tells us when it's going to happen. But you got to believe until it does. Hallelujah. They went to the day of Pentecost. They stayed up there 10 days waiting. And waiting and waiting. Don't get so impatient. You can't wait 10 minutes for the Lord to speak back to you. Well, Brother Andrew, if you just did this, if you just said this, if Brother James just did this, and if these people did, don't do that. He's here now. He's in the boat. And what's he waiting on? He said, I don't see the Lord in my life. He's waiting on you to call him on the scene. Not with a bunch of unbelief. Not with, well, Lord, if you don't, I'm out of here. That's a Cain religion. But with a heart of sincerity, it says, Lord, I need your help. I just need you. I need healing today, Lord. I need healing in my heart, Lord. I need healing in my body. I need healing in my mind. I need healing in just the chains of bondage I'm in. Some of you got chains of failure. You wake every morning, I'm a failure again. I'm a failure again. I'm a failure again. And the devil's got you on. I feel that devil trying to keep you on that. You come off that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not a failure. You're his victory. You are the Lord Jesus' victory. You're his seal in the Lord. Hallelujah. Your evidence that this message works. Oh, blessed be his holy name. You might not look much in the church's eyes or people's eyes or the world's eyes or even your own eyes, but you meant enough to the Lord. He gave his own son for you. Hallelujah. He gave you the Holy Ghost to show you, yes, you're one of my children. Is there anyone here saying, Lord, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Don't leave without it. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not trying to take it away from you now, but I believe you have to receive it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's working on souls. Don't be in a hurry. Just yield yourself. Get as soft as you know how to be with the Lord. Don't let your heart wax cold. Let it be filled with the love of God today. Oh, Jesus. As the Holy Spirit's brooding over each one. If you would like prayer, I want you to come now. I'd be happy to pray with you. I believe in the promised word. God bless you, son. He's down there seeking the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone who's got a need and just wants prayer? Oh, thank you, Jesus. God bless you, brothers. Is there anyone else? Come on forward. Don't be ashamed. There ain't no time for shame. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord God, hear our prayers today, Father. Defeat every oppression of the enemy today in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for deliverance. Pray for reconciliation in the hearts of your children. Lord, bring us back together and back in fellowship with you. Let our hearts be full of the love of God shed abroad. Break every stronghold, Lord, today in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you. It's that simple now. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for being here. Do you feel his presence? Do you know that's the Master? Now, if you don't want him to come, he'll go somewhere else. But if you want the Lord to come, go ahead and open the door for him. Taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Yes, Lord. I'm going to pray with these. You be in prayer as well.
He's telling you to repent, brother, sister. Do it quickly. He's calling you to a higher walk. Say, yes, Lord, I yield. He's calling you to just give your heart to Him. Do it now. All your heart. He's here. Master's in the boat still. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mold your children, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Father.
And Lord, please show.
Faith, it's well, Lord Jesus.
We have heard the message, shalom, and all is well. For there is a place, a perfect,
it's the only place
behind the end.
Just you and Him.
So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well.
Oh, Father, pray to the Lord each one.
Oh, all is well. All is well.
Well. He has heard the message. Shallow and all is well.
For there is a place, a perfect.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for working on your children, each one, Lord. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Rest, little bride.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We believe it, Father.
All is well. All is well. We have heard the message shalom.
Yes, Lord.
All is well.
Worthy of praise, Lord Jesus. Like the Lord. Right in the storm, rest in the promise of God today. Grant it, Lord.
All is well.
Let's give Him praise now. Believe it.
All is well.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, we have heard the message, shalom, and all. A perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest, for all is well.
Oh, yes, Lord. I believe the reason we can is because He lives, brother, sister. He's still alive because He lives. Let's sing that chorus. because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. It's the only reason. All fear is gone. Thank you, Lord. And because I know he holds my future, and life is worth the living just. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. You believe he's alive today? Thank you, Lord. Give him praise now. And because he lives, yes, Lord, oh, I can face. I'm more than an overcomer because you live, Lord.
Because he lives, all fear is gone. And because I know,
oh yes, I know,
he holds my future.
Yes, Lord.
And life is worth the living just because he lives.
One more time. Let's give the Lord a wave off for today.
Oh, and because he lives.
Wave your life now.
I can face tomorrow.
Thank you, Lord.
Because he lives, all fear is gone. And because I know,
oh yes, I know,
he holds my future.
Yes, he does. Hallelujah.
And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Give the Lord a shout of praise today. Worship him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Your only hope, Lord. Thank you for raising the dead. Thank you for coming, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many felt a touch from the Lord today? How many knows he's heard your prayer? Oh, blessed be his name. Raise in thanksgiving today. Say, Lord, I believe it with all my heart. I'm thankful. I'm praising you. It's already done. I know it. I believe it, Lord. I don't know how. I don't know when, but I know the master of the wind. And he lives in me. It's going to be okay. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you're encouraged today, brother, sister. You're the cream of the crop. You're God's bride. He's getting you ready for a rapture. And I know it's ugly. I know it don't look like this is what a bride would come through, but this word is getting our souls ready for a resurrection.
Amen.
The ups and downs are just fashioning us into the sons and daughters of God that we're supposed to be. How many believes that today?
Amen.
Let your faith be renewed. Be encouraged, brother, sister. Hold to that promise with all of your heart. Amen. I like to sing before we go. We kept quoting Peter there. Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. If you don't know it, Psalm 170, we got fellowship, I believe it. Mom and Dad's today. Everybody's welcome to come and have a little time together. How many loves the Lord today? Can we give him another hand clap of praise and worship? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Song 170. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's sing it together. If you don't know it, go 170.
Oh, living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Oh, tell me, where could I go? Where could I go? I'm seeking a refuge for my soul. And I was needing a friend to help me in the end. Oh, where could I go but to the Lord?
Neighbors are kind.
And neighbors are kind.